You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Hey, thank you so much. Oh, don't sit down. No, I'm joking. It's all right. You can stay sitting down. What amazing worship. How amazing to be in the house of God. Okay, I can see we're a bit rusty. How amazing to be in the house of God. How amazing to be in the house of God. How amazing to be in the house of God. You may be few, but you are many. How amazing to be in the house of God. There's got to be a few Fagnolis in there somewhere. Yes, there is. I see one. Huh?
Can we go again?
Go again. Oh, topical. The sound of rain. The sound of rain. And my notes are right at the end. There we go. Got a few COVID memes that have been meant a lot to me in this season. I don't know whether they'll be here, but they will be here. Could we just show them in randomly, guys, those three that I... Yes. So to go to the grocery store, they said a mask and gloves were enough. They lied. Everyone else had clothes on. Kids returning to school after corona. When your hair salon is closed, but your dog groomer has a cancellation. So good to see everyone here again tonight. To be back in the house of God. You know, we don't take it for granted. I don't know about you, but this 5 months of not being able to meet has sharpened my desire to be together with you. Because when we worship together, there's something powerful. Jesse Rose was alluding to that and sharing about that and speaking over us as a church tonight. There is something powerful that happens when the people of God rise up in worship, they rise up in praise, and they take their rightful position. Things start to move in the spirit and begin to affect the realm that we're living in. And I just want to welcome you back to church. And some of you I do know and some of you I don't know, but you're very, very welcome. If you're a visitor here, we welcome you tonight. My name's Rob Porter. I'm senior pastor here with my wife, Heather, on the front row here. And I also do a very successful online cooking show. Thank you. Autographs later. We've just finished season one, and you miss your cue again, people. You're not sincere. We've just finished season one, but there will be a season two. You're very kind. Some of us have been busy in this COVID season, making COVID season babies. And we want to celebrate that. There is new life on the horizon. God is in the business of new life. And I have no way how to segue into my next bit. So, we call this Revision Sunday, and the reason we called it Revision Sunday is because back in February, before COVID hit, we had Vision Sunday, and I don't know about you, but it was like we were hurtling up the runway like a jet about to take off, and then suddenly the runway stopped, and we had to go back to the airport, and we sort of been sitting there. But this doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit has not been at work. This doesn't mean that God changed his plan. It just means that somewhere in the heavens, something is moving and earth needs to get back into the rhythm of heaven. Because on that Sunday back in February, I was talking about the rhythm of heaven, because the rhythm of the earth is out of sorts with the rhythm of heaven. And God is looking for a people. He's looking for us to change and to influence and to move the rhythm of this earth back towards the rhythm of the heavenlies. Because I tell you something, God is on the move if only we will look to see him moving. You see, some people are looking for revival and they're going, there's a revival out there and I'll get on board when it happens. But actually what God is wanting to say to us tonight as we get into the word is revival starts in the hearts of people. Yeah. Revival and the seed of revival is found in the spirit of man, and God plants it there. You know, next week we're going to be starting a four-part series called What on Earth is the Church For? Because we're wanting to look at the beauty of the church and the purpose of the church. And I do believe that the enemy has tried to, in this season, attack the church a bit and shut it down and close it up and make people think, you know, what is the point of the church? But I want to tell you something. The church's best days are yet to come. This church's days, and I know we've said it before and other people have said it before, but I want us to get a hold of something tonight. God didn't bring you here tonight just to go, oh, I'll see what it's like to go back to church. I was talking to our leaders the other day and I was saying, you know, there was something happened. I came down and I was praying last Sunday morning, and I came down here this morning and I was praying early, and it was like I dipped my toe in the water and it went, whoa. Yeah. And there was a current that was moving quickly. There's a speed that God is moving at. Yeah. And sometimes we sort of go, God, you've got to fit it with my speed. But I want to tell you, church, tonight he's saying, I need you to pick up your speed. Yeah. I need you to take and get a hold of the rhythm of heaven. We're going to be having this preaching series, and then every second Sunday, we're going to be having Spirit Without Measure sessions, where we come to church and we empty ourselves and we give ourselves to him. And, you know, there might be a bit of chaos and a bit of laughter and a bit of this and a bit of that. And, you know, they'll be preaching or not preaching, worship, not worship, prophetic words, not prophetic words. But we're here at the beck and call of the King. We are here to serve his purpose in the earth. We are here to get some rain in our spirit where we've got dry and dusty. Is there anyone here tonight that wants a bit of rain in their spirit? Because you're in the right place, because God is on the move and he's here tonight to rain upon us. Yes, I am. I was walking along the beach, walking along Wurrum Beach, and it just goes on and on and on. I don't know if you've been there. And you can be there on your own. And I was just praying, and I was praying, Lord, because one of the, really the sincerest thing about preaching and the fear, and I don't know if even fear is the right word, and I know I'm, is that you'll get in the way of what God is trying to say. And the simplicity of the message. And I was walking along and I was raising my hands and I began to sing. Let it rain on me. Let it rain on me. Drought be over, drought be over, let it rain on me. Let it rain on Heather. Let it rain on Heather. Drought be over, drought be over, let it rain on Heather. Let it rain on Monday. Let it rain on Monday. Drought be over. Drought be over. Let it rain on Monday. And then I went through every day of the week, Because I want to tell you something. Our life is nothing just lived here in church. Our life has to be lived out in the street. We are not called to be Sunday believers. We are called to be wet with the Holy Spirit during the week. And I want to tell you that preachers and pastors, in a sense, worst nightmare or whatever, Mondays are dreadful. But I'm believing God for that to change up, because I don't have thousands of Mondays left in my life. So I do not want to waste another Monday worrying about the word I preached, worrying about whether this went right, worrying about the church in the wrong way. I want to be a man of faith, and you want to be a person of faith. And you do not have time in your life on this earth to waste one single day in doubt, in worry, or distress, or despair, because we are called to be wet with the Holy Spirit, with the rain of God. I'm going to jump right in with my scripture, because I'm going to read from 1 Kings 18. And the stage is set in this story because King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, very well-known story. You know, when the Holy Spirit, I was praying about what I needed to speak to today, a few months back actually, and I felt God say, 1 Kings 18, I went, that's Fred's scripture. That's Stephen Furtick's scripture. And I felt like the Lord say, shut up. Do what you're told. He didn't actually. But he did. But he said, do what you're told. King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, the scripture tells us, made God more angry by their sin than all the previous kings put together. I don't know about you, but that sort of sent a bit of a shiver through me. That kind of made me go, whoa. This was sin on sin on sin on sin, wickedness on wickedness on wickedness. They brought in all the idols that they could bring in. They forced Israel to worship with the most vile practices that you can imagine. And God spoke to the nation of Israel and to King Ahab and to Queen Jezebel, and he told them that he was going to stop the rain for a number of years, and he was going to cause a devastating and deadly drought. And I'm picking up the story 3.5 years into the drought. In verse 41, it says, and Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is a sound. There is a sound. Can you hear the sound tonight in your spirit of the Holy Spirit saying, there is more, there is more, there is more. There is a sound of a heavy rain. And so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. You see, church, there is a sound of heavy rain. There is a sound of persistent rain. There is a sound of significant rain. And I hear it in my spirit. And the fact that I don't see it necessarily in every area of my life doesn't quieten the sound in my spirit. Can you tonight, and I'm not talking about something mystical, do you sense that presence of God in your life saying there's more, there is more, there is more, there is more. I want you to be a person that is wet with the Holy Spirit. I do not want you dry and dusty in any single area. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be green. I want the world to look at you and say, I want what they've got. I want the fruit that's in their life. I want the joy that's in their spirit. I want the happiness that they see. I want the contentment that they have, whether they're rich or whether they're poor, whether they're in work or out of work, whether they're sick or whether they're healthy, whether they've got COVID or whether they haven't got COVID. I want to be like them, because there is something upon them, and it's like there's a cloud over you and it's raining on you. We're living in a world with the sound of upheaval. We're living in a world with the sound of uncertainty. We're living in a world with the sound of dysfunction, factions, and fighting. And I hear God saying, where are the people who are listening to a different sound? Are you listening to a different sound tonight? Or are you just reflecting back what you're hearing in the world? Because there is a voice from heaven, there is a rhythm from heaven that is setting up a reverberation in my spirit that says, this might be dry, this might be a drought, but rain is coming. I hear the sound of a heavy rain, and I hear it in here. Yeah. And do you too hear that rain? God is looking for just one man and one woman who will catch the sound of an abundance of rain that heaven wants to release on earth. You know, it'd be easy to analyze COVID and what it means, and I'm not going to give you my expert opinion on what God is doing with COVID, because I actually don't know what he's doing with COVID. I sort of feel, by the silence you feel, I should know. I don't. But this is true. COVID may have changed the dialogue of the whole earth, but the dialogue of heaven remains the same, consistent, unchanging. And I want to tell you, the urgency of heaven is this. Now get this. That man separated from the water of life in this life is in mortal danger of losing his life forever in the next. This world needs people who will carry the water of God out into the dry places and water and bring salvation where there was loss and redemption where there was nothing but brokenness and distress. So my question to you this evening is, who wants to be a drought breaker? You see, I'm not up here to impress you with words or whatever. It's pointless to me just to do a whole bunch of words. Then we all go and get coffee and we all go home and do our weeks again. You need to answer something. The Holy Spirit is crying out for answers, for people to stand up. Who wants to be a drought breaker in here? Who wants to be an Elijah in their generation? One thing I do know is that people in here tonight who are desperate for the rain of God to fall on them. And you know, sometimes we can hear that as, oh, somebody's been up to sin. But as believers, we're actually called to be desperate. When I'm worshiping up the front that we were singing, what we were singing tonight, there's nothing, nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing better than you. It brings a desperation, not a, I don't know who I am and I don't know if God is God and I don't know if I'm saved. It brings a desperation and a desire for him, a desperation and a desire for more of God, a desperation to be, fulfill the destiny that's on my life and to see the destiny of this church fulfilled, because we have a great destiny. There's people in here who are desperate for drought in them to break. There's people who are desperate for the rain of God to fall on their marriage. There's people in here who are desperate to see a circumstance change that just won't yield, that's gone on for years. That son, that daughter that just won't come back. There are people looking for God to bring rain of the Holy Spirit in revival. You know, the dilemma we face is that we want the effect and the blessing of the reign of God, but we desire to skip the process of faith, because Elijah went through a process of faith when he heard the voice to the time that the rain cloud appeared and the storm welled up and everything just broke loose. There was a process of faith. You know, Elijah received a download from God that rain was coming. Tonight, God wants to give us a download into our spirit that rain is coming. He doesn't want us just to sit here and go, that was great. He wants to actually download it into our spirit that rain is coming, that the situation you faced year after year, that rain is coming. If I could stir you today in the minutes that we've got left to what heaven is saying, you need to get beyond your weakness. You need to get beyond the sadness of your life. And I, if you know me, I'm not a harsh person. But your pity party will stop you partying with the Holy Spirit. You need to get beyond what you will and won't do for God. And I want to talk to you very straight on that point. Some of us have said no to God. He hasn't turned away his love. We've been singing all about, I can't even quote the words, but that song about the love of God, how, you know, I muck it up, much better words than I'm saying. Basically, I muck it up, I screw it up, but thank you so much that you love me and that you still accept me. And that's so true. But sometimes the dryness has come because we've said no to God. And we just need to go, you know what, God, I know you're not budging on this. And I actually don't want to go till I'm 60 and then walk up the front and go, okay, I give in. God is right. Thank you, Marco. I've missed your amen. God is right. God is love. Change your no to a yes. Verse 43 says, go and look toward the sea, told the servant, and he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go again. And the seventh time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea. And so Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, and the wind rose, and the heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel, and the power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead all the way to Jezreel. You have got to love Elijah, because when the power of God came upon him, he looked like a fool. He looked foolish, but the power of God came upon him. And you know what? He had his head between his knees up on the mountain. He didn't mind looking like a fool. But when the power of God broke loose, when the storm broke loose, people saw that this was a man of God with the Holy Spirit upon him. He was exhilarated. He was jubilant. And Elijah earned his victory. And he ran ahead 17 miles from Carmel to Jezreel ahead of the king's chariot. I want to tell you, when a man and a woman of God are aligned with God, with the purposes of God in their heart, with that rain in their life, something comes upon them that cannot be denied, the power of the living God, and people have to sit up and take notice. But what we're quick to forget, so easily we quick to forget, is that if you want to outrun the chariots, you've got to outrun your doubt and your fear first. If you want to outrun chariots, you have to outrun your fear of what people will think of you. I want to tell you, something has crept into the church, not this church, but this church is part of the church worldwide. A fear of man that stops us doing what we really want to do. Maybe stopping us worship the way we want to worship. You know, I sit in my seat and I don't move. I just totter a bit and move. I'm 60 and I leap around like an idiot. And you can too. I'm 59 actually, but. Before the man of God saw the storm clouds forming, or he felt the wet of the rain on his face, and before the tiny cloud becomes a larger cloud, and that larger cloud becomes a rolling storm front rising out of the sea, and even before the dust-choked villages, the barren landscape, the rivers and the dried-up streams, even before the water came to pronounce that this drought is over, God whispers into the heart of a man, I hear the sound of rain. I hear the sound of rain, and I want you to hear it with me. You see, faith doesn't begin with a showy outcome. It starts as a seed in the spirit of the man. All these people that you see up on stage, and I can't even name them, you see people going out in the Holy Spirit, you see whole crowds going down in the Holy Spirit. It started out as a seed of faith in their life. It started out as a God. They took time out with God. I don't care whether they're showy or whether you like them or you don't like them. I want to tell you, people who have gone into the presence of God, have spent time in the presence of God, who have yielded to the Spirit of God, have turned off the TV, have put away Netflix, have stopped reading books, have decided that they will spend time going into the presence of God, there is something about that that you begin to hear about your destiny. You begin to hear about the call of God on your life. You know, people get prophesied over and they wonder why the call of God doesn't seem to be coming to pass. But it's because you need to spend time in God's presence, hearing again and again and again. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You are a child of God. You're not dried up or messed up or screwed up so badly that the Spirit of God can't come upon you and bring you back to the place of, yes, Lord, I'm going to run for you. You know, there's someone sitting in here today who's saying, I don't see the rain to break my drought, but in my spirit, I'm hearing something. I'm hearing something, Pastor Rob. Well, let me tell you, God has a word for you that you're going to break out of your drought. He's going to fill your cup. He's going to refresh your heart. So you just need to hang on in there. My first point is that Elijah heard something. When the silence was deafening, Elijah heard the sound of the heavy rain in his spirit. God is looking for rainmakers, not drought commentators. You know, I have been amazed how the doomsday merchants sometimes, and, you know, shock horror, even in the church, sometimes the church is a bit nuts. We don't do ourselves the favor that we should be doing. But even so, hallelujah. People, they crawl out from under the sideboard and they pronounce the end of the church because of COVID, the end of the world, the end of the government. You know, there's nothing like a good world disaster involving a pandemic, collapsing economies, woe and doom to bring out a salivating prophet of doom. You know, the Bible warns us about secretly enjoying another's downfall. In fact, it warns us that it's sin to stand and watch another one's demise when you can do something about it. The Germans used just one word to describe this. Schadenfreude. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, Schadenfreude. Who said, I just heard someone go, Schadenfreude. Not Schadenfreude, mate. Schadenfreude! I love your trusting hearts. I could have been getting you to swear at your neighbour in German. Most big German words, I feel, sound like insults. Schadenfreude should not be confused with Sigmund Freud. Schadenfreude means the pleasure derived by someone from another's misfortune. This is not to be confused with Glücksschmerz. Glücksschmerz. This is the displeasure one feels at the good fortune of someone else. We are not called to be Schadenfreuders. We are not called to be Glücksschmerzers. We are called to be rainmakers. It is easy to point out the drought. It is easy to point out the meaning of the drought and make a Facebook post about how the drought will destroy all we know, but it's a whole other ballgame to be a rainmaker and to bring an end to the drought. And this world is looking for an end to the drought. Our God is looking for an end to the drought on the earth. He is looking for the rhythm of heaven to be found in the rhythm of earth, and he wants us as a church to be part of the rhythm. And this is the vision that we have as a church. I love the church. Jesus loves his church far more than me, but I sincerely believe that the best days of this church lay ahead of us. Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Not because he was thinking, oh, you know, batten down the hatches, boys, and just coexist with the devil until I come back and everything will be okay. He has called the church to push back the gates of hell, to push back the gates of the enemy, to restore that which was robbed from us, and to see victory in the earth and to see other people brought into victory in the earth. You know, sometimes in order to see change out here, see, Elijah wanted to see change outside, but he had to change something in here. You know, we may need to throw out some furniture God wasn't asking us to buy. We may need to throw out some idols we've set up in our lives in place of God. And I know no one's going to go, hallelujah. But I'm going to say it again. I may need to throw out some idols we've set up in our lives in place of God. Because things that start out as innocuous can have preeminence over what should be taking first place in our lives. Things can become the source of life while we tuck God away in a corner for future use. What we've got to remember is the wicked king and the wicked queen were the cause of the drought because they caused Israel to sin, and God turned the tap off and said, let's see how you go without me. And that drought came. Listen, there's no deep spiritual meaning in that in one sense. But the fact is, I do not want to be a person. Forget being a pastor. I do not want to be a person that is saying no to God and see the blessing turned off in my life. Now, that I know we have a lot of grace message and we have a lot of, when I make a mistake, God puts it right. And I believe all of that. But I also believe if we're saying no to him, we have to turn our hearts around and humble ourselves and say, yes, God. And I think some things have shifted, and Jess alluded to it again, or more than alluded, she spoke out a word. Some people have taken on some stuff in here during COVID. I think all of us probably. I've certainly taken on some stuff. I blame the cooking show. No, I actually blame I was eating because I was bored. But there has to be a shift in our priorities. There has to be a taking of the idols and seeing them for what they are and bringing them down. Because you cannot be a drought maker and a drought breaker and an idol worshipper. I'll say that again. You cannot be a drought breaker and an idol worshipper. Second point, when hope was scarce, Elijah persisted. Elijah persisted. When God is speaking so often, what we see with our eyes is in opposition to what we sense. The servant comes back. We know the story. Elijah sends him out 7 times. And he says to the servant, go again. And the servant brings a bad report or a negative report, and he says, go again. And I hear the Holy Spirit tonight saying to you and to me, go again. Where you've found weakness, go again. where you found your failings, go again. You might have held a dinner party that didn't work, go again. It's not about you. It's not about getting things right in that sense or being the best dinner party in the world. It's actually about humanity, love to life. You may have tried church and you might be trying church again after many years tonight. And you might be like, yeah, but nah. Go again. You might be looking at your marriage and going, I'm out of here. And he's saying, go again. You might be looking at your kids and going, I've written them off. Go again. You might be looking at your job and God's saying, I need you to stick this out. And he's saying, go again. You might be a pastor here and you're thinking, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this. I don't like the pace. And God might be saying to you, go again. Go again. Go again. Go again. What would have happened if the servant had stopped on the sixth time? He wouldn't have seen the cloud that rose out of the sea like a man's hand. Do we reflect the circumstances and go down with the ship? Or do we say to people, to those around us, do I speak to my heart, to Rob Porter's heart, when I'm walking on the beach, do I say, let's go again, let's see what God will do. Let's go again, let's see what God will do. KCC, we need to go again and see what God will do. I don't feel like we've given up, not at all. That's not even what I'm addressing. I'm just saying, God is saying to us, there's more. And the thing that we thought was true, it is true, there is more. And he is here waiting for us to answer. And if we will answer with a yes, Lord, then he will say, he opens it up. Here's more, here's more, here's more. Go again. David took 5 stones to fight Goliath. Why did he take 5 stones to fight Goliath when one would have done? Because he knew that he might not kill him with the first one, but if he didn't, he'd get him with the second one. And if he didn't get him with the second one, he'd get him with the third or the fourth or the fifth. He was a go-again man. David was a go-again man. That is why he said, God said, he's a man after my own heart. Because God goes again, goes again. We worship the King. We sing about the King who comes after me with his love.
Yeah. That's right.
The go-again God who comes after me with his love. So he's looking for a people who will bring that go-again love to a dying and a hurting world.
Yeah, that's good.
Elijah focused no matter how stupid it made him look. Elijah saw potential. That's my third point. The servant saw insignificance, but Elijah saw potential. He sent him out, sent the servant out 6 times. And he comes back, and Elijah can tell by his countenance, the way he's walking, that this servant is saying, hey, something's changed. Something's changed. But the servant says, it's not nothing, but it's not much. But I want to tell you something. We need to celebrate the small starts, the small things. Have you got too big for your boots that you don't celebrate the small things in your life? The pay rise, the thing that you've been praying for and all of a sudden it happens, you're just like, oh yeah, that's great. We need to celebrate the small things. If God trusts us with the small, if he can trust us with the small, he can trust us with the large. It's not nothing, but it's not much. And Elijah will take anything at this point, says, well, what do you see? I saw a cloud like a man's hand. And Elijah says to him, it's not nothing, but it is something. It is something. There are people in here tonight that can feel inside of them something stirring. The call of God again on their lives. That they can be healed, that they can walk after God. That they can know God in a greater way, that they can heal a relationship, they can forgive that person that hurt them. They can be free from bitterness. You can experience the love of God. As we go back into worship, I'm just going to finish with this. I believe this morning or this evening, he is asking us to tear down some idols that have crept in, displaced him from being Lord in our lives. And I know that's confronting, because normally we talk about, you know, just small things and so on, and then we talk about other gods and it's sort of a bit like, ooh, creepy. It's not creepy, it's just a realigning of preference, a realigning of what we count as important in our lives. The rhythm of heaven or the rhythm of earth. Are there people in here who want to know and experience again the rhythm of heaven as a reality tonight, not just a spoken thing? Idol worship isn't just statues of other gods. It can be that. But it can be as simple as an attitude. Unforgiveness, fear, a no to God. Let me ask you, or let me tell you why you should boot out these other gods. Because you can hear the sound of rain, just like I can hear the sound of rain. And I don't want to miss the rain that's coming. I want to be a drought breaker in my life and in those around me and in the world. You know, it may not have happened yet, but I hear something. I may not be able to see it yet, but I hear something. Let's stand up. You may not recognize it, but I hear something. Listen, I would have died a long time ago, but I hear something. I should have thrown in the towel and just walked away, but I kept hearing something, Heather. I kept hearing something, Jasmine. You could have walked away, but you kept hearing something. I keep hearing something. When I look at my weaknesses and I look at my humanity and I look at my failure, I want to give up and quit, but I hear something. I live in lack, but I see abundance. I live in loneliness, but I see and I hear love. I struggle with sin, but I hear freedom, and you do too. I live in weakness, but I hear strength from heaven. I live in a fight, but I hear and I see victory coming. I'm excited on a Sunday and deflated on a Monday, but I hear something. I hear, I hear, I hear. If you're hearing that and you want prayer tonight, I want you to come down the front. Now listen, you might not want us to lay hands upon you, and that's perfectly fine. Just let the person know who's praying for you. We've got pastors that'll pray for you. But I believe God wants you to answer. If you're just hearing, you see, it's not about seeing the end result. It's about that seed is sown in your heart tonight. What can you hear? And if you will answer that, you need to come down the front and get prayer. There may be people here who don't know Jesus that want to know the experience of living in relationship with a loving God. We'd love to pray with you tonight. You can make yourself known. We're going to worship band, whatever you want to play. It would be our privilege. Don't walk away from here without saying, God, I hear you and I want to answer. I don't know what it's about, but I need prayer tonight. I need rain in my life. I need to be a drought breaker in my situation. You come forward and we'd love to pray with you. Thank you.